Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject many need to be aware of and recognize. It's Christian persecution for their faith. Christians being persecuted for our faith. And we're talking about across the board and across America where Christian bakers, Christian florists, Christian wedding planners, Christian photographers are being persecuted and prosecuted because they refuse to do a wedding event for a sodomite couple or for sodomite couples. We have today as our special guest, Mauricio Belgarno. Mauricio owns and operates a ministry/business, photography business, Namesake Pictures here in Jacksonville. And recently there's a great spat, and it came out in the newspaper. In fact, let's see if I can find the article on that that will be beneficial for you to understand. It says, "I pray you choose to repent and serve Christ. Company declares declines request to take photographs of same-sex wedding in Jacksonville." Namesake Pictures. This article says, "Billy Thornton and Andrew Wells have been together for 10 years and say they've always dreamed of their wedding day." Well, they've had some nightmares, apparently, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, but when they reached the Namesake Pictures to inquire about wedding photography, they were met with opposition. Quote, "This felt to me like a ridicule and shame, shaming us while pointing us to the fact that we were such horrific sinners and need of their prayers," Thornton said. And all that was said by Mauricio was, "Thank you for letting me know you're a same-sex couple," the message said. As a born-again Christian, saved through Jesus Christ out of homosexuality, I have to say I have a conviction for engaging in celebration that the Lord condemns. When Jesus saves us from our sins, he gives us a new heart. We become new creations in him to worship him and desire to obey his commandments, not perfectly, but gradually. Though I know that I may not hear back from you, Billy, I pray that you choose to repent and serve Christ and surrender to his rightness will for you and Andrew. He cares enough to use thumbtack to have me address this to you. I will be praying for you and for Andrew." I think that was a pretty well-stated response, Mauricio, from them. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Yes, good morning. Pastor, I recognize the voice, and I'm pretty sure this is a Mauricio that I knew a number of years ago, and I observed his testimony under some pretty tough circumstances he and his wife were going through. And I want to bless him and just ask God to magnify his business and increase his tribe. Well, that said, the discussion this morning makes me think of something that it's a little tough, so warning to the listeners, but I want to discuss something about this LGBT community that we don't think about, but I think is in the future. And here's what I'd like to say. We all, at least in the intelligence community, the intel community always asks the important question, why? And then they follow the dots to answer the question to determine whether something is a threat or is not. In the case of our culture today, we must ask, why is the LGBTQ, whatever they are, community so much more important than anything else that we have to set aside laws and make special laws for them or to elevate them to a status which is above any other group of people? For example, some government official, some mayor or governor in the Northeast is imposing a $130,000 plus fine on people who misuse LGBT adjectives. You call a him, a shim, or you don't use the right words. It is absolutely absurd. We have to ask why. And why is the answer that you get is a very definitive and good answer, and that is it reveals the presence of Satan in the movement. Every culture has died for the same reason. And when this element, the LGBTQ group, arises, then that culture is nigh onto the judgment of God. Now, here's the point I would like to make. Having said that, you, the pastor, have a dispensational background. You understand that we're moving through God's history purposefully to a particular end. And the events just before the end are clearly laid out. Now, we know that our culture is unspeakably evil now, but it's even going to get worse and worse. And yet what is going, it's going to transition to will be even worse than anything that's ever been on the face of the earth. That's called the tribulation period. And what happens is we go from a very subjective, feminized, anarchic culture, which is represented by the disproportional favor of the lesbian community, to a very cruel version of God, of Satan's version of righteousness, which will be the Sharia law that most certainly will be imposed upon the whole world when God's, as I believe, when Satan's, as I believe, religion rules. I believe that Islam is in many ways the religion or the religion that leads us into the final days. That point made, the lesbian LGBT community that today enjoys such favor, once they have, I think, pushed the limit and anarchy falls in this nation and the great savior of Islam comes in with Sharia law, those who have been most favored will be those first to have their heads cut off.
Absolutely.
According to Sharia law. So
yes.
What they are doing right now is setting up their own
demise,
horrors at the end. So I'm gonna cut this off now, but I just would like to congratulate and bless Mauricio for stepping out of that community, for having a wonderful family. I think he had a few trials a few years ago with a child that was ill. That my memory may be wrong, but Mauricio, God bless you. God increase your tribe. You are, and I wish to say this to the radio audience, you're a good man, and you need to be heard, and may God be your champion in this particular cause. Thank you. So long.
Thank you, Marshall.
Amen. Thank you so much for that call. It is so well placed. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us again that you are tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Mauricio, let's talk about a couple of things. I like to dig into a little fundamental foundation. Tell us something about your family and your growing up years. Tell us something about what your mom and dad did. Were they Christians? Were you in a Christian home? Just give us a little background information that I believe the listeners would like to hear to understand you and your stand a little better.
Wow. Where do I even begin? Well, I was born in Peru, in Lima, Peru. To a single parent mama. Loved my mama to death. It was me and my sister. And she had always looked to America as that city set on a hill.
Yes.
But she never understood why was it that city set on a hill. She only knew that there was so much freedom in that country and no terrorism. This was back in the early 80s when I, you know, was born and everything. And I remember she was so excited when she found out that she became that she got her green card to come and bring us to this country. And it was here in this country where, you know, God used to lead us to Christ. It was not just, you know, God led me first, then my mom and my sister, or I think my sister was already saved because she married a Christian man. And it was at that when I became a Christian that I understood why was this country so blessed? Mm-hmm. Because it was found under Judeo-Christian, yes, biblical principles, and they honored the laws of God. And it was something that I found it even hard to grasp until just maybe 3 or 4 years ago when I got married and had my had our first child. And we were just so – I was just so excited to be a father, because I knew that that was God's calling for my life as well. And so – with that intention to want to preach the gospel. Now, I think I kind of went a little bit too ahead, but let me rewind back a little bit. Obviously, it was here in the United States. You know, we were raised in New Jersey and came to Jacksonville after I graduated high school back in 97. Mm-hmm. And what led me into the homosexual path was watching pornography. It was like in the late 90s when internet became a big use, and obviously the whole pornography industry went buck wild because it was just free access to free drugs, mm-hmm, that you later became addicted to. Mm-hmm. And And I remember,
in other words, Satan got the toehold there.
It was, and as crazy as this sounds, which is not crazy to God, the very same man that introduced me to the homosexual lifestyle was the very same man that God used to lead me to Christ. And so when I say that I totally believe in the sovereignty of God, that was it, because I was not looking for God. And if I was looking for a God, it was a God that suited my comfort, that agreed with my lifestyle. And when I got converted in 2002, I was radically saved. In fact, the gentleman that had God used to lead me to Christ was under the impression that I was going to get saved and kind of live in a monogamous relationship with him. So his intention wasn't for Christ.
It wasn't for Christ, it was for selfishness.
It was very selfish. Mm-hmm. And I remember in my mind, I was thinking, dude, this totally backfired on you because I am really born again and I love Christ. And I remember, you know, either him or maybe the Lord in my mind saying, either you choose Jesus or you choose your sin. You can't have both.
Amen.
And I ended up choosing Christ. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, God didn't have me comfortable. I quit a 8-to-5 job in 2006 when everybody else was holding on to their job because of the recession that was about to take place in 2008, because I believed God that he wanted me to start a film company or a video production company. And I decided to learn from someone else. So I spent 3 years learning from a gentleman here locally in Jacksonville who, right after I quit my job, the very next day he had a job for me lined up. And it was completely the sovereignty of God, or already working through that in the providence of God. And I learned from him 3 years. And after 3 years, I quit my job and decided to start Namesake Pictures. And so Namesake Pictures is literally coming from the verse that for his namesake, he pardoned our sins for his namesake.
So what you're saying, Mauricio, is your business is built on a faith factor, a faith foundation, and you believe that your business is that extension of your ministry in serving the Lord and honoring God in that.
Right, and it's in every aspect. I mean, it's not just in me keeping my mouth shut and working, but it's whenever I have the opportunity even to share the gospel with my customers, I will do so.
I'm looking at an article here, Mauricio, and it's from the Alliance Defending Freedom. It says the government shouldn't threaten artists with jail time and or fines to force them to create custom artwork such as wedding invitations, expression messages that violate their belief and that what the court has affirmed today. And ADF senior counsel Jonathan Scruggs, who argued on behalf of Duca and Casia before the Arizona Supreme Court. It was dealing with a art studio or a calligraphy company in Arizona. And it was on the same basis. And what you're saying is, to bring us full circle, background, growing up in a single-parent home, coming to Christ early in an early age, and then realizing that you had gotten caught up into the web of pornography that led you into the homosexual lifestyle, but then truly getting blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, as I use the term, that you determine that you can't serve Christ and sin. And so you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ in your studio. Now, that brings us to the point. You had a couple, a homosexual sodomite couple, that came into the studio and wanted you to do work for them. Tell us from that point, tell us step by step what took place, what you said, why you said it, and what has happened since.
Well, what took place right after he sent his first inquiry, he never addressed the fact that he was a gay person. And so we had asked them the question, okay, this is – actually, we had sent him an estimate and told him, you know, this is what our rate is for what you're looking for. And apparently this was back in February when this took place on Thumbtack, which is a an online service that caters to vendors with potential customers that are looking for that particular service from each mm-hmm. vendor. And so my wife decided to kind of do a little recycling and kind of look back at some customers that are still, you know, we're still looking for work. You know, their wedding date hasn't passed yet. And so she asked him, he said, are you still looking for a photographer? And he responded back, and this was back in September. I don't remember if it was September or October. And he responded back with a lot of questions. And my wife is very savvy in discerning.
Yeah.
Something that I
most
don't.
Most of our wives are more discerning than we are.
Yeah. And she's like, I think this is a gay couple. And I said, well, babe, I mean, we won't know until we actually ask the question. And so she asked the question, and he said, you know, she gave him another quote because he had in the midst of, you know, some of the questions that he had, she felt, I just want to be respectful and answer some of his questions. And then she asked, you know, by the way, what is your bride's name to be, or what is the name of your bride to be, or your future wife? And he responded, well, yeah, I'm a homosexual and same sex, what they call it, because they want to walk away from the homosexual word.
They want to walk away from God's word, the Bible, which is Sodom and Sodomite.
Right. And then he said, you know, my partner's name is Andrew. I forgot his last name. And so my wife was like, see, I told you. So she let me have the response. And it was it took me maybe about 3 days, because I don't think I was purposely trying to, like, avoid the conversation. It was just more of like me trying to get other editing done. And my response was the very same thing that you wrote, that you read out loud.
Your response was a Christian witness to a sodomite couple. This is the reason they said, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading from the article out of the Florida Times Union newspaper. One of these men in this sodomite couple says, this felt like an attempt to ridicule and shame us while pointing out the fact that we are such horrific sinners in need of their prayers, end quote. I think that he hit the nail right on the head, as the old cliche goes, because that's exactly what you're doing, trying to witness to him and telling him why you could not do that. And what you did in that witness, it caused their sin to be amplified in their minds, and they felt condemned. And it is the self-condemnation that you see that's causing the anger and the hostility.
Right.
Well, Mauricio, tell us what kind of response have you had from the general public, from the media, and from the general public? Have you gotten a lot of emails and letters praising you for your stand, or has it been the reverse of that?
I believe it's been 50-50. There's been a lot of hate mail, a lot of hate phone calls, a lot of hate text messages from the LGBTQWXYC, yes. Whatever number of letters there are in that movement. And there was only one news station that reached out to me to get my side of the argument, and that was First Coast News. I believe all other news stations just kind of just went with them. And didn't even bother with, you know, the cinematographer, you know, like, get his perspective, which I'm totally fine with that, because it is, they're privately owned businesses, they do what they please, right? But I also received a lot of encouraging emails, and Facebook, that was my company's Facebook page was also attacked by the LGBTQ. They were keep putting me as unrecommendable. Why? Because I was a homophobic and a bigot. Mm-hmm. It's basically, but that really, to me, what that did is that it opened up the opportunity for me to share the gospel with more people. And I loved it. Like my family was freaking out, but I'm like, yes, you know, and the fact that they put my answer, my response, on First Coast News for like hundreds of thousands of people to read.
Yes.
That was encouraging to me.
A testimony,
you know,
to Jesus.
And I mean, by no means, this is not a setback. I'm not approaching the station as a victim. I'm actually very excited that this had taken place. Now, obviously I don't pray for this to happen. But the fact that the gospel went forth because of my obedience to the Lord, I love the persecution, kind of like Peter and the apostles, and after beaten for the sake of Christ, were rejoicing.
Yes.
You know, And I was rejoicing.
Having been counted worthy, they said.
Right. I was counted worthy. And that was just the most amazing thing. And so when all this hate mail kept coming in, I was like, this is awesome. You know, I didn't see it as bad. Again, opportunity to share the gospel. Now, it got a little bit too much to where I just couldn't really respond to everybody. But I didn't back down. And I believe that what that LGBTQ movement wants to do is that they want us to stay. They want to silence us.
Yes.
By no means. In fact, that was – I've heard that, you know, that the reason why they put me in the news was so that – to shut me down, mm-hmm. to keep me quiet.
Right.
To show me a lesson, like as if I was a child. Well, and they were the parent.
That's what's happening to Bunnell Stutzman and Oregon, where they have determined, in fact, on one occasion, she, one of the lower courts, fined her $135,000. She had to borrow the money to pay it. The whole approach is, if you will not agree by celebrating and embracing the sin of sodomy, then the goal is to shut you down, to squelch you, to quieten you, to destroy you. Mm-hmm. And that's the approach it's taken. Just out of curiosity, and it comes to my mind.
Can I add something real quick? One of the setbacks or the disappointments was also from the Christian community on Facebook, rebuking me for what I said and what I did and how I should have really gone for the service. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that I obviously was expected, because, you know, in every situation, everybody's got a different viewpoint.
A different viewpoint, but the whole bottom line, if I can interrupt, Mauricio, is you can have 1,000 different viewpoints, but the Bible is the only one that
counts.
It's
the only one that counts, exactly.
The Bible is the only one that has the value.
Yeah.
And when you look at the end result of what they are wanting to do, that is the goal across America with the LGBTQ movement. It is to shut you down. It is to squelch and to quieten. And you touched on it a moment ago in some of the dialogue and discussion. One of the problems that we see with this is every denomination today, every mainline denomination, in some form or fashion, greater or lesser degree, they have embraced the LGBTQ community. Embracing it, by that I mean they have simply said that we're not going to ostracize it, we're not going to say that it's bad, we're not going to preach against it, we're not going to teach against it. And what we find taking place with that, Mauricio, is the undermining of the power and the authority that God has vested in the local New Testament church, that we need to take a stand on these issues. And we find from a political level, all of your political apparatus on the citywide, statewide, nationwide, all of the politics are for it. We have all of the major, vendors of the online services, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They're going out of their way to embrace the movement. You have the latest was one of the major cereal manufacturers just announced they're going to manufacture an LGBTQ cereal. We find movies and videos, cartoons for kids,
Nickelodeon,
being introduced
Disney.
Now that will absolutely destroy our kids. Here's one from Tony Perkins. There's a spiritual and cultural battle raging for the minds of our children. The LGBTQ agenda is in full force, and it is aimed at the youngest and the most innocent among us. The Public Broadcasting Service, PBS, featured the popular children's show Arthur, the longest-running cartoon since television began 22 seasons ago. Recently, PBS aired a controversial episode entitled Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone. It featured a same-sex wedding ceremony between Arthur's teacher, mm-hmm. Mr. Ratburn, and another character, Mr. Patrick. The segment concluded with Arthur and his friends celebrating at his wedding. It's being pushed from every venue. Right. And so I must say this, Mauricio, I am thankful that you've taken the stand. And I'm thankful for that. But one of the things, as you touched on, and I will elaborate on further, is a little sad to me. And that is, you find so many Christians that will counter what you're doing and challenge what you're doing. But it's because we have, according to the scripture, a seared conscience with so many today, that sin has come in and allow the conscience to be seared toward anything that is a moral, ethical, biblical issue that we ought to confront. So we've got just a couple of 2 or 3 minutes left on the broadcast, Mauricio. Would you tell our listeners what you want them to understand about your stand, why you've taken that stand? Do you hate the LGBTQ? Do you love them? Why do you do this? What are you wanting to accomplish by saying no to a sodomite couple and doing a photography session for their wedding?
Well, the first thing that I want to say is that I want to do things unto the glory of God.
Amen.
And that it's everything, from my marriage to how I parent my child to how I run a business to how I work out ministry. Jesus is Lord of all.
Amen.
He's not just Lord of the church and then like go and do whatever you want in politics. That's not true.
That's right.
As Christians, we are also to uphold the laws, the moral laws of God, because they were designed for the unbelievers. And so my hope is that every Christian godly business owner, like you said, would search the scriptures often and submit to the word of God and not compromise.
Right.
The reason why I'm in this position was because other Christians have compromised and they've settled. And I know because they, especially in the artist's wedding, there are a lot of liberal Christians. They call themselves, Christians now. I don't know. I mean, ultimately, God knows the heart, but we know them by their fruit.
Yes.
So when you have a community that says you as a business should not preach the gospel, you as a business should not have said this, who are you to tell me what I should and should not say? Mm-hmm. And by what standard are you abiding this to? And so as a born-again Christian, as a born-again believer in general, we have the Word of God to be our foundation and to set us straight and to lead the lost to the light.
And so what you're saying, Mauricio, is a challenge and a plea for the Christians to not compromise, to right. take a stand on biblical truth, mm-hmm. and regardless of whether it's a good path or a bad path, whether it's difficult or it's smooth, that we take a stand without compromising
right.
the truth of the
without
gospel.
Lying either, because there's been other Christians who say, well, we just simply tell them we're not available. I say, well, that's not being true. Mm-hmm. You can't
tell
avoid
a lie
sin.
You can't tell a lie and still honor God in that.
Right. So, I mean, it's not a two-edged sword. It's not. It's simply black and white, and God's word is perfectly clear on it.
Yes.
And so it's always a challenge. I mean, this is not the only thing that I do. Actually, I'm very verbal. I go out in the streets and I preach the gospel. I stand at abortion mills.
Yes.
And proclaim the gospel there too.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're so delighted that you tuned in and joined us today. We've been talking with Mauricio, that is the photography studio here in Jacksonville that's being challenged and condemned because he said no to a sodomite wedding photography session. I pray that you'll pray for him. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
South of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.